You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Everyone, welcome to episode 13 of That's Awesome Pod. I'm Joe. I'm here with Josh. Josh, how you doing today?
Good.
Good.
How are you?
I'm great. What you been up to this week?
Same as usual. Not much.
Nothing. It looks like there's a change of scenery behind you, though, because usually different. There's a drum set and there's a guitar.
Yes, I.
And there's some bear paws.
I got a little chair. Bear paws
on the fridge or something. Is that what that is?
Yeah, there's those are from when I was in like fifth grade.
Oh, you still got them hung up there?
I guess so.
Just make you feel good about yourself every now and then.
Yeah,
great. Have you been playing with a band or something, or is that just your shit?
No, it's just my stuff.
Nice, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I like the new setting.
Yeah, thanks.
I've been busy as hell, like more busy than usual, just like all day recording little projects for different people and watching hockey all day. It's actually been great because I have two monitors. I got my work monitor and the one off to the side that's just been playing hockey like 24/7. So it's been a pretty great week. Staying busy, writing music. Watching hockey. Let's see. Any housekeeping stuff we have to do today? I don't think so. Again, just a reminder, rate, subscribe, write a review, all that stuff. If you would like to donate to the pod or my guests, you can do so at paypal.me/thatsawesomepod. I think we'll probably end up taking that link down soon. So, yeah, well, we'll announce some new changes in the future. We'll also be announcing – I'd like to figure out the actual launch of it, but we're going to have some announcements regarding, like, engagement with listeners and stuff like that coming soon, too, I imagine, hopefully in the next week. So keep your ears open for that. This week – this was an interview we did probably, like, 3 or 4 weeks ago with Tyler from the band Afterlife. Who I toured with on my first tour ever with Ice Nine. It's good to catch up. We don't get to see each other a lot, even though I discovered that he lives very close to where I am now. So hopefully we'll see each other more in the future. But it was good to catch up, hear what the band's been up to. Definitely recommend checking them out. Josh, anything that we need to add to this week? Yeah, anything important?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool. All right, so yeah, we won't waste any more time then. Let's just dive right in. I didn't know what I was getting into. We were living in the moment, didn't matter to you. And as the time went on, I should have seen all of the signs that something was wrong. But it was too good to be true. So I just sat there and thought, what would I do without you? What would I do without you? Drag me through hell for so long. I thought I needed you. But I felt. But you never seem to change. Yeah, thin third is fading, but I can't forget your name. It cuts me up like daggers every time I think I'm wrong. Cause the hardest part of letting go is trying to hold on. How are you, dude?
Good. Trying to get this all set up.
There he is. Look at your handsome face.
Alrighty, Joe. What's up, bro?
Not too much, man. How are you?
I'm good.
This is Josh.
Hello, Josh.
Hey, nice to meet you.
How are you, man?
I'm good, man. It's been an eventful time to live here in California.
Dude, and it's so weird that I know that when we played long time ago, May of last year in LA, you were at the show, but I didn't know you lived here.
Yeah, I didn't move to LA until about December of 2019. So when I came to that show, I was still planning on, I was still working out my move to come here.
So you just got here in January.
Yeah.
And I got December, you said. I got here in April.
It's nice. I mean, this year has been pretty odd.
Yeah. It's weird. I was saying this to like pretty much everyone I've, well, a lot of the people I've interviewed on the podcast have been from LA, and it just sucks that like all these people are my friends and I just can't really easily just go and hang out. Yeah. You know, like moving here to where everyone else lives and I can't even like see people. But
I was telling that to, I was talking to Sugarman and I was like, dude, like we should definitely get together or something. And he's like, yeah, we live in the same place. My friend just moved to Echo Park.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was like, I'm not able to even hang out with any of them. Is the audio sound fine?
It's good. Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. Totally.
For some reason I'm getting a weird thing on mine, but.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool.
I think it's just my headphones, but it's all fine.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds fine to me. So if it's not bothering you, then whatever.
Not too good.
Well, cool, dude. Well, thank you for coming on. We do the way that these have kind of gone and everything's like super casual and everything. By the way, I'm already recording. I just kind of chop it up.
Sure.
The way that we've kind of done it is very casual. I kind of know a little bit about the history of your band because I remember you kind of talking about your involvement with it, but I don't really know the full story. I should start by saying the very first tour I did with Ice Nine, you guys were on.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I was not familiar with your band before seeing you guys like day one. Because I honestly wasn't familiar with anything.
I mean, which is like fine. Cause we only really existed to the public like early that year when we put out our first actual record. Like we had an EP before that, but like, I don't want to even say mainstream, but like a larger platform just that year. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I loved that tour, and I've said this recently, was I think still the most fun I've had on tour with Ice Nine, because
it was great.
I don't know what it was about that fun tour. There was just like such like camaraderie, you know, and like all the bands were just hanging out all the time, and it was just a blast. I had such a good time on that tour.
It was really good, and I think that I did a podcast a few weeks ago and the question came up about touring and stuff like that. And I was like, that was like our first real look at like a really good tour.
Dude, it was my first look at like a really good tour too.
It was nuts. It was just like, I remember like the first day, oh, it's sold out. Second day, oh, it's sold out. Third day, oh, it's sold out. I was like, holy shit.
That was pretty wild.
I could absolutely get used to this.
Yeah, that was fun. But look, I was hoping, like, I know that this Afterlife was your first band, right? Personally, right?
Yeah, first band.
So how did the band start? Was it started without you, or did you guys all kind of start it together?
So I was in a band previously before, but I still count it as my first band because it's the same members for the most part.
Got it. Okay.
So myself and Andrew were in a band called Every Passing Dream. And we were in that band for a couple years and did some mild touring. We toured with like I the Breather, Those Who Fear. Did like a couple Warped Tour dates. So like we did a few things with that band, but we got to a point where it didn't feel like it was growing in any capacity. So we're like, all right, we should probably change the name of the band, try a different style of music. We just wanted to do something new.
What were you doing before?
It was like the melodic, like hardcore. Like if you were thinking like Full Blown Dreams, like that style.
Got it.
And it was fun. We did a full length record and it was great. And we had some cool features on it and stuff, but I don't think it was moving in the pace that we wanted it to.
Mm-hmm. And so what prompted the change to like, and you guys kind of self-proclaimed like new metal band, right?
We're not self-proclaimed that, actually.
Okay, so I thought I read something that you, like, where you guys had said it.
No, it was just something that kind of, I guess, based on the sound and the amount of, like, subgenres just for any type of music. It just was coined by.
I didn't really ever understand that. To me, like I mean, I guess I get why people said it, but that was going to be my question. Is like I feel like you guys are heavier than that, and like I don't know.
I mean, I do agree. Like when
more like when a post-hardcore-y thing. I felt like, you know.
I don't know about post-hardcore, but I feel like it might – the whole – I think the reason we didn't want to wear the nu metal title was because it just had such a bad connotation. Not a bad – it just had a negative connotation to it. And we didn't want to be – you know, when people think of a nu metal band, it's kind of just like written off as like
– dreads.
Just rehashed stuff from like the early 2000s. And like that's right. not what we were trying to do. Mm-hmm. And yes, dreads, trip pants.
Right.
Fucking scatting
bike chain necklace.
Yeah, it was just, you know, something that we didn't really want to do. We wanted to go out and try to create something, you know, fresh sounding. And but, you know, all the blogs and magazines that we ended up luckily doing interviews with, they were just like, oh, so you guys are a nu metal band. And at this point, we're just like, we're not going to fight it. We know we're not.
I mean, I think it honestly is working for you. I mean, I whether or not you like it or not, I think it's like, I agree, like when people hear nu metal, it might have like a negative connotation, especially in like the world where we come from, like the Warped Tour scene and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, over the last few years, I feel like that term has become kind of like endearing, like to a lot of people where they're jonesing for that like nostalgia. But also it's like you're a fresh take on that. Like if you were going to be a nu metal band, like if that's what nu metal is moving forward, then I'm totally cool with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What I've noticed a lot recently, which is it, for me, I think, and for the band, I think is a great thing, is that a lot more people, well, a lot more people, I guess, in the scene have become so much more open to the idea of like Octane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember for a while, people were like, oh, like you just, you know, just write a rock song, yell, knock. It's like, it's not actually that easy.
No, it's not.
So I think now people are trying to, are more warmed up to the idea of like that whole world, because we really broke into that world this year. And there's like the people who associate with that type of music and go to those types of shows and listen to that station are like some of the nicest people we've actually met.
Oh, dude, for sure.
Through music.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like our headliner that we did in the fall, that was the Octane tour, like of the year.
Yeah. We did the first one back in February.
Oh, you did?
So that's how like we got into the Octane world. So
who else was on that?
It was a band called Like a Storm from New Zealand and a band called Royal Tusk. They're like a Canadian rock band.
Yeah, sick. Yeah, they're really good.
So we did that tour and it was like the first Octane tour ever, and it was great. Like we got to meet with like Grant, Jose, Kayla, like all the people involved with Octane, and it also allowed us to be on their airwaves for, you know, as long as that we were on it. So Octane's great, you know.
Did you see any difference in your fan base and stuff from that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we did a couple tours prior to last year. We did a tour with Ocean's Eight Alaska and Day Seeker. We also did a Like Moss of Flames and Currents tour. We did Pat's. Our very first tour as Afterlife was Affiance's farewell tour.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so that's how we met Pat.
Did you know I had some involvement in that tour?
I didn't.
Yeah, I helped. I helped book some of that.
I know there was a lot of shows and a lot of different bands in different places.
Right. They wanted to do different support in every market, I remember.
Cool. Like we did, I think it was 6 shows. From here to California, and that's how we met Pat. And then the next tour we did was like Moss of Flames headliner with Currents, and then we hopped on the after that tour we went right into another one with Kingdom of Giants, and Pat was DMing that tour.
Just loves touring. He loves it.
He absolutely used dude. This was an interesting form of Pat, I will say.
What, tour managing?
This is a different.
Can I just guess what it was like?
You can try.
Okay, so I imagine there's two sides to Pat that I think they're like polar opposites, and they're like extreme and like really positive in very different ways, right?
Yeah.
One is like just drunk out of his mind, Pat, right? Where, because the dude likes to drink and he's like, he's responsible with it and everything, but he knows the right time to do it.
Yeah.
But that's when he will roll around on the bandwagon floor and throw Gatorades and goldfish at me while I'm trying to sleep, which I loved.
That might have been, that might have been the Pat.
Yeah.
Well, actually, well, I'm trying to remember, like, there was the only responsibility he really had was to make sure the shows went well. Right. But after that, he was just, yeah. I remember it was great.
Go
it
ahead. Tell me a Pat, tell me a good Patrick story.
We stayed at this Airbnb in Nashville. It was us and the rest of the tour package. And this Airbnb, it was like a three-story Airbnb in Nashville. And it was just an absolute rager the entire time. Like, someone ended up putting like a shot glass in the garbage disposal and turning it on. And it was just, I don't know. Pat was in prime mode at that time, I will say.
Yeah, he has his moments. It's great. But the other side of Pat is that he's like on top of everything. He knows every detail that needs to be known and is a great like delegator and like just gets his shit done. Like I think
that's the Pat I saw in the Ice Nine Kills tour.
Oh, you think so?
I mean, there was some nights we walk into the bar and it would be Elmo's birthday and then the shots would just start flying. So like,
oh my God.
But there was a lot of the nights.
I forgot that was that tour. Is that in Nashville? Remember we did that? I mean, I know we did it in a bunch. There was times
it was
when
like every day.
There were times where we did it where you weren't there too. Like you weren't at the Texas Roadhouse one, right?
No, I was not.
Yeah, they made him sit on the saddle, and they stopped the entire restaurant and sang to him.
Dude, I used to work at Texas Roadhouse. So
did you have to do the dances?
I know all the line dances.
You're gonna have to just give me a 10-second video of that after this, so I can post it.
Not a chance. That's why I actually got fired, because I just ended up refusing to do dances. I was just like, dude, because it was to the point where, like, you know, some nights in the restaurant, it'd be really busy. People are waiting for their food, obviously. Sometimes it takes a little longer, but this guy's over here is waiting for his food. He's absolutely visibly agitated, and you're doing line dancing next to him. Like,
right.
The guy does not want to see that. He wants his food. So, like,
yeah.
I just felt more for the customer who was tipping me.
Yep, totally get that.
So I'm just like, I'm not going to die dance.
So anyway, look, let's dive back into the band. So, when you guys started, or when Afterlife formed, how long until you guys started just going?
We released an EP in the early, it was like early 2017. We did a CD release show, first show ever for the band, sold out.
Wow, where was that?
It was at a venue called Respectable Street in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Gotcha.
It was a CD release show. We brought all of our friends' bands from the local area on it. And I think it ended up doing anywhere between like 500 and 600 tickets.
Wow, dude. That's
it
nuts.
It was good. It was really, really good. And that's when shortly after we did the Affiance tour and the rest of the tours that year.
So you did a show, like a debut show, and then immediately went on tour with Affiance?
Yeah.
That's sick.
It was cool. we didn't expect the very first show to sell out.
Who was your agent? Was it?
We didn't have a booking agent.
How did you get on that? Was it just through knowing?
Well, we know the promoter in the town, so we're like, all right, we want to do a CD release show.
No, I mean the tour.
Oh, the tour. I think it was just like someone offered it to our manager at the time, and we were just like, well, yeah, let's do it. Like, this is the first tour. Let's just go out and have some fun.
Yeah. And that's like a pretty good first tour to be another band's last tour.
It was interesting because it was only six shows and it started in Florida it started in like Texas actually. And then it went all the way to California and then back. Mm-hmm. So routing wise, it didn't really make much sense, but we knew we had to cut our teeth early on. So, and then from that, we did Kingdom of Giants and Currents and then Oceans at Alaska. And then we're like, all right, well, I think it's time to do a full length album because the EP did really well. So let's start working on the album. And then that happened early 2018. And then all of 2018 was like prepping the release. And we signed to a new record label at the time. We signed to Hopeless. The tail end of 2017, they came out and saw the band. Our first show ever at Chain Reaction is when they came and saw the band. And
got it. Nice.
They went from that point on. And
was it, was that your first time playing Chain?
First time sold out.
Isn't it like, I don't know why it is, because that venue itself is nothing special, but it's just, there's like some history there, you know?
I think it was just like I grew up, I guess, watching videos at Chain Reaction.
I think that's what it is. It's just so many things were filmed there.
The parking lot is iconic. The sign is iconic.
Yeah. Have you heard of Chain Reaction? You haven't.
No.
Yeah. It's just this it's in like a strip mall in Anaheim. And it's like this, what is it? Like a 400 cap, 450?
You would not even know it was there.
Yeah. It's just like this dive.
I think so. Everyone is smaller, but when you get a good show in there, it's like, it is cracking.
Just go watch the Bury Your Dead DVD. It was so cool. It's pretty nuts. Yeah, I remember when we first played there in my old band, it was like our drummer was beside himself being like, oh, we made it. And I was like, made it where, dude? We're in a fucking strip mall parking lot.
We fucking made it.
We're playing to 40 people in Anaheim. We did it.
All the way from home.
Yep.
No, it was cool. Like that venue, it felt, you know, it was like the first, I think it was the first time like our manager saw the band, the label saw the band.
Who was your manager at the time?
We were working just up until about recently, Jason Majo.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So he managed the band from the very beginning up until about recently. And he brought his like wife, his kids' first show. You know, it was a very special moment. And, you know, the label signed us based off that show. So it was very memorable.
Yeah. Did Tobin come down to you from Hopeless?
Tobin moved there. Tobin was there. Nicole was there. I believe Aaron was there. Great. And it was just cool because it was like, I don't know. It was like a very bittersweet thing. Like we were, you know, it just felt like it was moving in a good way. Which
I mean,
awesome.
Dude, I feel like your band has just continued. In the short time I've been following and known about you guys, like there's just constant buzz. Like that's what I was saying about the whole, like whether you love it or not, the whole nu metal label, I think it's like working because
now more than ever, like I feel that there is a nu metal resurgence
for sure,
whether people like it or not. Like it's, you know, you see it with bands like, I think From Ashes to New, like
they're a great example.
They really do it well, whether it's, you know, the image or the sound or the live show. Like I just saw them recently with Skillet, mm-hmm. and it was like great. I saw them at the Grove in Anaheim and it was like great. And then you have bands like Fire from the Gods.
Yeah, they're another great one.
They're more on the rock side, but
that's like it's the same. Like it wouldn't be out of place. But I even feel like I don't know. Like you hear all these, you know, Warp Tour metal bands now, like that are having this, you know, harder edge of like that nu metal, like riffy heavy instead of like chuggy heavy parts. You know, like there's definitely the all the good parts about nu metal are making their way back into like underground heavy music, like the Octane scene and stuff, which I think is really cool.
I hope
what's that?
Well, I hope some of the bad, because there's a lot of bad things with nu metal. I hope some of that just stays.
Yeah.
In like it, wherever it died.
I mean, but dude, there will inevitably be a band that tries to bring a lot of that back, and it will, I guess I have no idea. It could go great. I still don't really understand that scene that much, you know, cause where I'm new to it too. Like Ice Nine has had tons of success with Octane, and we were doing those last summer we did those rock festivals And it, it's just a different world, man. Like families coming out to shows with like little kids and because they hear it on the radio and stuff. And it's just it's not something that I'm used to, but it's definitely cool. You know, that
we have this one family. Their Instagram handle is Midwest Metal Family.
I know exactly who you're talking about. Who you're talking about.
They have a son, Jackson.
Yep. He's literally amazing. I know.
That kid, I believe, will have a future in music.
Yeah, he's got the moves down, dude. How old is that kid?
Nine, maybe even younger.
I think he's
like
younger.
Seven.
Yeah, I think he's younger.
I don't know his age, but when we met him, it was in Springfield. I'm pretty sure it was on the Iceland Kills show in at the Riff in Springfield.
I think you're right. Because he was on the stage.
The whole family comes out, the mom, the dad, the sibling, like the kid, they all come out and they're all just having a good time front row. And it's like,
they were on stage, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I know. I remember that exactly. Yeah.
It's like people like that, like that I really am thankful for, because we didn't see that prior to getting on like the rock stuff.
Right.
Like, you know, you go to like a metal show, no one's going to bring their 7-year-old kid. I mean, if they do,
well,
that's
who knows now, I guess. Like, it's interesting now to see there's like, you know, Warped Tour now, if it were still going, what year would it be at now? I don't even know. 25 or something like that.
I remember the last one I went to, and it didn't look very nice.
It was definitely smaller, but the thing that's interesting about it to me is that, like, if Warped Tour is that old, right? That means that the people that were even going like 10, 15 years ago, those are the people that when they were 15 years old going to Warped Tour, they now are having kids, right?
Yeah.
And they still listen to The Used, you know, like all those bands. And so there are now this new generation of kids that are being brought up on like metal and post-hardcore and this like, you know, because all that stuff was relatively new. It kind of bloomed in the 90s and into the early 2000s and then like gained steam. And now it's a whole new subgenre that people are growing up with, I feel like.
I used to really, really love post-hardcore. Like back in the day, there was a band called Burden of a Day.
Oh, yeah. I remember them.
Amazing singer, had the best voice.
Do you know why I remember them, dude? I have the album actually on my iTunes, but I remember discovering them on MySpace before they really, you know, got, I think they signed to Victory, right? I don't remember for sure, but they signed to some label, but it was before that. And the only thing I remember was their MySpace profile picture was a GIF of them like rolling around on stage and just throwing shit around on this. And it looked like one of those like center stages where the crowd was just around them.
Yeah.
And I was like, where is this band? Are they playing in like a circus ring and like just doing stunts? That's the only thing. I don't even honestly remember exactly what they sound like. It's just that.
It was great. They were from like Sarasota, Florida, and they had a really good singer. Like the musicianship was great. Same thing with like Oceana.
Yes, I remember them too. Remember them.
Like, I grew up seeing that band play like every weekend because they would just play Florida. I think they were either from Florida or they were very often.
Yeah.
Of Machines was another great one.
I was just going to say Of Machines. And their singer, Spencer went on to be in that band Macari, but is no longer in it. Do you know those guys?
I grew up with Spencer in elementary school. Spencer Pearson.
Yeah.
He used to be the singer of Verse Their Murder.
Yes, that's right.
Dude, this is how it's a very small world.
So I used to like my old band took Macari out on their, I don't know if it was their first tour, but it was early on. And then I was Macari's booking agent for a long time when Spencer joined the band. So like it's wild. Small world, you know?
That dude has always been talented, even from like the beginning when like I knew him, like we went to elementary school and then he was in Versa Emerge with Blake Harnish. He just went on to like become like, he was like Paris's writer, band Paris, Blake Harnish or whatever. I don't remember his last name. And then Versa got Sierra and, you know, they just blew up from that point.
Right.
It's definitely, damn, I've, That was so crazy that you know Spencer. There's like,
I mean, I haven't talked to him in a couple of years, but I don't really know what he's up to now. But yeah, I remember being
hey, last time I heard it was that Macari band still.
Right. And that band's doing well, but they have a new singer now. That
really? Oh.
Yeah, he's Andy Sizek. I think he's in that band Monuments too.
Like the metal band Monuments?
Yeah.
That's sick.
He's kind of like a YouTube dude. He's very talented.
Really?
Yeah. But anyway, now we're just talking about other bands.
The past.
So cool, man. Well, what's up next for Afterlife? What are you guys working on now?
Well, this entire year was looking pretty promising before, before Corona. We're going back to Europe and, mm-hmm. We're really excited. We planned on going to, we've been working on the new record the entire year. So we went into the studio.
Are you guys working with Drew?
Drew is the executive producer on the record. Yeah.
That's right. I was just at his place the other day.
He is a madman.
Yeah. He's unbelievable.
We started working on the record in March with Zach Jones.
Oh, cool. Nice.
So we did 3 weeks in LA before we had to cut it off because of Corona. Like all the guys flew out here, but we were getting reports that like they're going to close down LAX. Right. Yeah. Because this was like when it was getting really bad. Mm-hmm. So everyone was like, we just got to call it, like for our health and safety, right. We got to go. Mm-hmm. So everybody left. So we put a hold on it, which was a really bummer because I felt like we were really in the groove at that point.
Right.
So then we started working like remotely. And then in May, I flew to Florida for 2 weeks, worked on a remainder of the songs and got some really good ones with that. Drew, I, and Zach wrote a really cool song, which ended up is now, I think, one of the singles or projected singles.
Nice.
And still a little bit more to do. And I think we're going to finish that in September. So this whole year, we've just been trying to get the record done any way possible and make it the best possible.
Sweet, man. I'm excited to hear it. Did you guys have any like tour? Well, you said you were supposed to go back to Europe. Who is that tour with that fell apart?
I don't know if it was a weird situation. I don't know if I.
Oh, it wasn't announced yet.
Yeah, it wasn't. Okay, announced. Then like, nothing was announced. So.
Got it.
But I mean,
concrete. Like no one had. There was nothing for on sale or anything, and people didn't spend ticket money. Okay, got
not
it.
Yet.
Well, that's good.
But it was going to be cool. And
hopefully
we share an agent, so
right.
We had a phone call with him the other day. We're just like, man, what a year!
I know.
It's like, what a year!
I know. I mean, even for like, I don't think a lot of people realize this because obviously the faces of the music industry are the bands and the artists and stuff like that. But even those agencies, like their business is putting bands on tour. Right. Mm-hmm. And so if there's no demand for that, it hurts those places too. But they, and I'll be talking about this soon, I can't talk about it yet, that agency is doing something very fucking cool right now to stay afloat. And soon I'll be able to talk about it. Yeah, it's very cool. They haven't had to like, I really think, slow down that much. They're very innovative and fast thinking.
I think that's what this quarantine has really forced people and bands and companies to do, is to think outside the box instead of just following, the normal stuff that used to work.
I think the whole industry is going to change just the way it works. And it's just kind of forced everyone to rethink like because everything in the past 20 years with the music industry has been playing catch up with technology. The music industry was what they fought streaming so hard that didn't work.
Now it's like
now artists get paid not great money for it. Right. But like you look at like the rest of like streaming for the movie industry and shows and everything, they embraced it, capitalized on it. And now it's this huge fucking thing, right? Like people can release these massive movies on Netflix instead of a theatrical release now.
And it's generally cheaper to do a Netflix or an Amazon original.
Right. So I hope that this pause in the music industry will force people to rethink a lot of that and how to take care of the listener and the artist and the companies that are working in the scene like better. Because it just seems like now it's a bunch of band-aids on shit.
what Billboard just did. They removed the bundle option for first week sales. So you can no longer sell a bundle with a digital option. It's either one or the other. Oh. It won't count as two. So a lot of the artists, like I know Kenny Chesney and Drake, there was a huge controversy between those two because Drake was leading number one with an album and Kenny Chesney was second. And this was recently. So he apparently made a fake tour, bundled ticket sales with CD sales, got number one,
that's
canceled the tour. You know, like, so.
Wow.
And then the I know Ariana did some bundles. Nicki Minaj fought the bundle. Like, there is, and then just like, now it's just not.
That's really
anymore.
Interesting. Huh. Well, I mean, that's good. That makes it a more even playing field. But that's what I'm saying is like, there's all these little like Easter egg and like Band-Aid things that are just put on. Like,
yeah.
Nothing has changed as far as like metrics and payment and stuff like that since in a long time. But everything else has changed so much around it. And it just hasn't been adapted to. So
yeah, the Spotify payment, I mean, it's just,
it's insanely low. It's fractions of a cent per play.
I'm trying to think of like what would be a like an appropriate per stream. Like I don't even know.
It's hard to say because like even with that fractions of a cent, if you are a massive artist, you are making insane money.
Well, yeah, there's
insane money. Arguably, maybe even more than you could have just selling CDs before, right? Because
one of my favorite artists. I was just on his Spotify the other day, NF, and he has a song that's literally 800 million streams.
Wow.
800 million. So if you think, okay, let's just say the lowest you'll get is like 0.0040 of a cent.
Yeah. I think it's 0.09.
Okay. So let's just look at this. So it's
I'm doing the math 0.09
right now. Times 800 million.
Yeah, that'll
that's $72 million.
Yeah, that'll do it, dude.
One song.
Well, okay. Well, there's no way he walked away with $72 million from that. I must have that wrong because people definitely do more than 800 million streams.
I think there's an extra zero before the nine. I think it's like
maybe it is. Yeah, maybe it is.
But still, like,
yeah, that's still crazy. I mean, I know people on like friends of mine on YouTube that, you know, they get 10 million streams on a YouTube video and that's all they need to do for the year.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I've seen a lot of the reaction type videos on YouTube and that's really cool. But like, I mean,
dude, there's this apartment building apparently. I don't know where it is. I heard this on NPR, I think. There's an apartment building in LA that the entire building is just filled with YouTube celebrities. They all live there and all they do is just make content and like basically apparently it's like just everyone leaves their doors unlocked, you can just go in and out and film shit, and like they're, it's just like this huge community of YouTube celebrities. It's really
weird. Sounds like the I don't know if you're on like TikTok or anything, but like sometimes I watch it to kill time because it's legitimately,
I know
there's some really innovative creative stuff on there and there's some really bad stuff. But there's like this thing called like the Hype House where it's like all these young TikTokers, they own a mansion or they live in a mansion and they just create content with each other.
That must be so fun.
I just watched this one too. It's a bunch of the pro Fortnite players. They own a mansion and it's like Lamborghinis and Ferraris. And I'm just like, I mean, I love my apartment. I have a nice spot, but holy crap. Like, it's like,
yeah, I know. Dudes just play video games and make millions of dollars.
I told that to my mom the other day. I was like, dude, you know, remember when you were telling me that you could never make a living in video games? Well, there's video gamers that like Ninja or, you know, like all these people, they make hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
Video games.
You know, I love those stories like that where you can kind of like, I remember this is a tangent again. Yeah. Yeah. This is another tangent. And I recognize that this is like, it sounds shitty because it's like, oh yeah, I have a phone and shit that can do all this stuff. But
yeah.
I remember getting in an argument with my math teacher where they were like, you have to show your work even if you use a calculator to show that you can do it. And I was like, why? What's the point of that? What is the difference if I get the result either way? And she was like, well, when are you ever going to be carrying around just a calculator in your pocket? And I'm like, fuck you, lady.
You know what's funny? I had a similar conversation the other day about this, about cursive. I was in like fifth grade, my teacher was like, you will never succeed in life unless you know how to write in cursive. Mm-hmm. Literally, think about the last time
What about even like penmanship, dude? I got an F in penmanship and everything else was A's in fourth grade. Yeah. And I got in trouble and now I'm like, who fucking cares about penmanship?
I use my signature to like sign, like if I was to sign like a check. I guess I use it a lot more than I think when like
Yeah, but that's like a signature. That's different.
Yeah.
But I don't even use my real name when I sign a signature. It's just symbols and shit, you know?
Couple ups and downs and a smiley face.
Yeah. It's actually funny. I've been signing everything Joe Brown for a very long time, and I don't think anyone's asked about it.
That's hilarious. Yeah. It's like I have the official – there was one show on the Iceland tour. It was in – actually, I don't know what – I think it was on the tour. There was like these scalpers outside trying to sign – like get people to sign guitar inlays and all this like pictures and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to sign this, but knowing you're going to go and like try to sell it. Right. I was like, what if I just sign some like ridiculous name on it?
Right. And just fuck
with them. Just made me think of the Joe Brown thing.
Yeah. So look, dude, I don't want to keep you for too long, but we always end every episode with a tour story. It can be about anything you want, about whoever you want. And just like uncensored versions of shit though. You know, like don't pretend this is like Substream asking you a question. This is just me on a camera.
Okay. So I can't say there's a lot, but there's
some that I can think of already. I mean, you were the band, you iced us all on stage once.
Did we?
You don't remember that?
I remember what I was going to say was the very last night of our tour where you came out and you ate spaghetti on the stage.
I did do that. Someone already told that story though, so you can't. Yeah. Right. That Matt Madero told that story.
Dude, that was hilarious, brother. It's like literally the funniest thing I've ever seen.
That I so badly wish I could do it again. I've been talking to like my friends' bands and stuff. And like if I ever have some downtime and like someone goes on a tour and they need a tech or a TM or whatever, I would do it only if I can do Joe Eats
that every night.
Pasta. Yeah, every night on the tour. Like be billed on it. I want to be on the ad mat of the tour, you know, like that's what I want it to
like,
be.
Like the font size, like you just make the biggest font size ever. It's just like, yeah, he's here with us. Oh, yeah, man, I'm trying to think.
But you iced us that same night. During the last song, you brought out a giant box that was wrapped in like wrapping paper, I think. Yeah. And then we opened it up and there was just a bunch of Smirnoff ices in there.
I think I remember that. I don't know. The icing thing, I've always like – I let Andrew do that.
That it was definitely him because he iced us so many times on that tour.
I've been iced enough to know that it sucks. Dude, like it's just not good.
You know, we want to hear the worst story ever with getting iced. This sucked. So I have like, you know, my whole joke with like being from Boston and like I was always running around screaming Dunkin' Donuts just for no reason.
Yeah.
And we were on the West Coast. Derek, our merch guy, found a Dunkin' Donuts and went and bought a bunch of shit. And this is before I was vegan, so I was eating all that stuff. And he got a box like that looked supposed to look like a dozen donuts in it and put it in my bunk and like wrapped it in a Dunkin' Donuts bag. He's like, dude, I got you something. Like, go look. And I went back and I grabbed it. I was like, I am so fucking – we had been on tour for like 4 months at the time. And I was like, this is fucking awesome. I'm going to eat like 10 donuts right now. And I opened it up and there was just two of the, like the giant Smirnoff ices in it.
Oh, my God.
The big ones. The big – oh, I did it. I respected him for doing it.
That's funny. Yeah, they, those things, and anytime I get ice, it's always a really, really warm, disgusting orange one.
An orange one?
They have like an orange sherbet.
I don't know if I've ever had that.
You don't want to. It's terrible. I'm gonna. It is literally disgusting.
You know, next time I see you, I'm gonna have one.
You let me know. I'll double up on it.
Well, oh no, you're gonna get iced by me, dude.
Oh, I'm gonna get iced. Okay. Yeah,
and I'm gonna put it in the microwave before.
Oh my god! Like visualizing that just sounds awful. Damn it! I think like a lot of like really weird shit happened when we were in Europe.
Do it. Let's hear it.
We were.
Wait. Let me. Did anyone get peed on?
No one got peed on, but that's where we have.
That's like a running theme on this podcast. Is when I ask people for stories, they always have to do with pee.
Well, then yeah, that works. So when we were over there, we had like this big like sprinter bus thing. Mm-hmm. So like I was laying. I had bottom bunk, so I was like laying in the bunk. And like I had to wake up because I had like I just woke up in the middle of the night. Like we had like a TV and a PlayStation. Like people were up all the time on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like go to get out of the bunk and like I slip on something and I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I look out of my bunk and there's a huge puddle in the aisle. And I was like, what the fuck is this? So I get out like to get out more and I slip and like I fall in it. And I'm like, bro, what the fuck is this? And apparently like someone tried to pee in a bottle and just ended up peeing too much and went all over the floor.
They didn't clean it up. Who was it?
It was Luke.
Really?
He like just like we our
I would not have guessed that.
Our driver wouldn't pull over. He was just like, I have to like we have to drive. And we're just like, pull over, please. We have to use the bathroom. Because it was like a nice rig, but it didn't have an indoor bathroom. Uh-huh. And he was like, all right, fuck it. And like in Germany, you know how like the bottles are always like stupid. Like it's ridiculous size. So he like filled it up and then some. And I guess he pulled over to stop. And I think that's why I woke up and I got out and I like, slipped in piss.
There you go, dude. There you go. Another
just keep a running tradition of pee stories.
I love that. Like, we should actually make it mandatory that it's a pee story.
It was just, man.
That one's pretty good. We've had a lot of them. If you have, I still can't get over the Capstan story. Like if you have like 5 minutes, go back and listen to the Capstan episode and listen to their piece.
I've only ever heard of that band.
They're great.
I think they're from Florida too.
They are, dude. They're really cool. I'm actually, I have a writing session with them in an hour. So.
Oh, word.
Cool. Yeah. But anyway, dude, thank you for coming on.
Of course.
Do you have anything that you want to promote or shout out before we wrap up?
I think for anyone listening, I know there's been a lot of people asking if we have like a new song or music coming out. So I guess like a little treat is like we're working on releasing all like the first song from the record. So
sweet.
I think that'll be coming out in a couple weeks to a month. So
sick, man.
That's something to look forward to people if they listen.
Awesome. Well, dude, please make sure you message me if you find your way. Yeah. Up here, and I will do the same if I go down to your area.
Well, Long Beach, you're in Echo Park,
it's not
right?
far. It's like a half an hour.
Yeah, it's like I think 20 miles or something.
Yeah, but I hate driving. So
Uber. Yeah, I mean,
I'm not getting in a fucking Uber right now, dude. Maybe I'm crazy, but I'm not doing that.
No, I don't think you're crazy at all. Like, yeah. I think the fear regarding this coronavirus is like really, it's like legitimate,
right?
But yeah, I wouldn't get an Uber.
Yeah.
Florida, like I was just talking to a buddy from Florida and he's like, dude, we have 15,000 cases a day.
I know, man. Well, did you see it yesterday?
It was 11,000.
In LA, it was like really bad. Just in our county. Like I think in California broke the record, but the majority of it was just in LA, in LA County.
It's upsetting because the longer it happens, the further touring will be.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If further anything will be, to be honest. Like,
well, I mean, but the thing is, like, we're probably one of the last things to come back. Like,
for sure.
I think even fully attended sporting events will come back before this.
I mean, they've already I know you're a sports fan too, right?
I am.
Yeah, so like they're kind of coming back. I feel like
no attendance though. There's no people watching.
Hey, at this point, like,
oh, dude, don't
football,
get me wrong.
If
I
it was football,
so,
bro, I would,
dude, I'm pumped
I would watch
about it.
Empty stadiums. For
me
sure.
too. I'm actually excited because I'm going to be able to hear the trash talk.
Yeah,
you know,
it's. I mean, it's also cool because, like, I have a friend. I don't want to stay on here too long. If
no,
if
it's cool.
It's like a time thing, but I have a friend who they do like DraftKings and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But they bought stocks and DraftKings and just keeps climbing and climbing because people are just like
yeah, people
online betting with it. But
for it. Jones and for it. But I'm very excited about hockey coming back. I did see like the Patriots because I'm a Patriots fan. I know everyone's going to fucking hate that. But they
see the thing with the Patriots is I think everyone hates Tom Brady or well, pre-Buccaneers.
True.
So they didn't. I don't
are
think
you
they,
a Bucs fan?
I mean, I think by default, I'm from Florida. I'm a default Dolphins fan.
Okay.
I'm a default Jaguars fan. And Jaguars are a good team.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, no, not Jaguars, Panthers.
You're a Panthers Wait. Fan.
The hockey team, the Panthers.
Got it, Florida.
Yeah. Well, Jaguars is the football team, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jacksonville.
So I think I sometimes get them both mixed up, but the Panthers are actually really good.
Yeah.
Dude, the Jacksonville Jaguars are like, oh, they're like an all right team. But
yeah,
by
they're
default,
okay. They were
like
good.
I'm a,
they used
a
to be
Florida
sick.
Fan across.
Right.
Buccaneers, they're about as bad as the Dolphins, to be honest.
Well, we'll see next year, right?
Now.
Like now with Gronk too?
With both. I think with Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers, that dude's just a machine.
Well, I mean, it'd be interesting to see, right? Because the whole thing in history has been Belichick and Brady, right?
Yeah,
so
great team.
We'll see what happens. I would love to see him do well down there. I think it would be great.
I think the Super Bowl was just getting boring. Like
I agree, dude. As a Patriots fan,
you know they were
going
to win.
Yeah, as a Patriots fan, and I've been saying this for the past couple years, I was like, and I know this annoys people when I say it, but it sucks like feeling like your season was a total, complete failure if you didn't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, like, because it's expected that you do every year. And that's why, like, I don't know. I did get like almost desensitized to that.
I wonder what they paid him because he didn't go there for cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just, I think it was with Patrick Mahomes. He just got like it was like $530 million contract or something.
The future, man. Yeah. I love that. This just turned into a sports podcast.
Dude, I mean, do you follow Barstool Sports at all?
Yeah. So Spit and Chicklets is like my favorite fucking podcast. So
The
Presidente,
the guy,
Barstool
yeah,
Presidente.
The pizza review, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I've been loving that
What does
shit
he like, say? He says,
one slice, one bite. That's the rule.
Yeah. Everyone knows the rules. One bite, right?
Dude, his, that dude
you know,
is
he's from,
great.
Swampscott, Mass, which is where Spencer went to high school. I think he went to high school with Spencer.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
I mean,
dude,
that dude gets a lot of flack because he is like the ultimate troll. You know?
He just got in trouble really bad for some like really, really racist.
I didn't
comments.
See anything. Yeah, dude, he's definitely an outspoken, like polarizing figure. Like I don't know much about him personally, and I don't know like if
I just know
like him.
Pizza.
But yeah, like the content stuff is pretty funny, and there's a couple great podcasts on that network too. So
I saw where like his wife,
he's married.
Left him. He was.
Oh, I was gonna say. I think he just self-released a sex tape.
Oh my God!
I could be wrong about
imagine?
That. I could be wrong
yeah,
about
put the
it.
Sex
but
sex tape up on TuneCore.
I could be wrong, but people were saying like on some of the other podcasts that I listened to, that people were saying that he looks way too good in it for it to be like just
well,
like
he talks about. He's like my flabby body. I gotta get a tan. Like every. I just because like I'll just go through all the videos of him reviewing pizza, hoping that he gives a pizza a 10.
Yeah,
he never does.
Never does. Yeah.
What a weird thing to hope for. This dude rating pizza and they give him a 10.
Dude, but that's the genius behind content like that. You know, it's just that it's probably intentional. He's
Someone's
just
going to listen to this and be like, man, this guy really loves his pizza reviews.
Yeah. And now people are going to be very confused about what we're talking about now. Let's wrap it up. But dude, let's hang out soon.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, dude. Take care.
See you later, man. Of course.
See ya.
How do I exit out of here?
I have no idea. I'm leaving that in. That's great.
Goodbye.
All right, see ya.
wish I was running for my life. I was 14 in a daydream. Woke up in reality, it's all too real for me. She's on the floor, he's on the phone. Can't help but feel that I broke this home. But I like to think there's a light at the end. Yet I never really know when I'll see you again.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA Podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living, and every week I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.